Ah, that is working. That's good. It is good. There's a young man in the house that's near and dear to my heart. Mr. Ray Hodge, and he just graduated with an MBA this week, and we just want to congratulate him. That's a lot of hard work, and I know the hours he put in, and as I was trying to get him to help us from time to time on projects, he would, sorry, Pastor Bert, I got some homework to get done. I have these things. And with our young men today and our young ladies, there's so many other things they could be doing that are not worthy of you recognize them today. So when someone does something great like that, I really want to recognize them there. Remember the story I told last week about the goat and the hole? Okay, some of you weren't here, so you'll have to get caught up on that at some time. It's a pretty lengthy story, so I won't go into that this morning. But I just want you to know there were no goats hurt in the telling of that story. Because if you Google it and go to Channel 3, they named the goat Houdini, and he's actually running the interstate down in Hardin County. True, you can Google it, you can see it for yourself, and the authorities have been chasing him for a couple days, but they have not been able to catch up with him yet. So there was no goats hurt there, so I'm not near the beast that you thought I was. So those of you that didn't hear the story, you're going, I don't know what this goat thing's all about, but we can catch up at some point. So let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I just come to you with all humble heart, and Lord, I just ask you to come and fill this house, Lord, with your presence. Come and fill this place with your grace and your love and your mercy, your compassion. Lord, your word says those that have ears to hear, let them hear, dear God. And this morning, Lord, may we hear. We have eyes, dear God, not only our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes, Lord. May they be open and we see what you're trying to speak to us this morning. Father, just come, Lord, and be a part of this. And again, as my pastor Jeff, my friend, my leader, Lord, has asked, Lord, that you bless me. But Lord, without you, Lord, I don't have anything. I'm just a lot of noise up here. But with you, Lord, may I have something that I can impart, something I can pass on, something I can give. And we thank you for that in your precious name. Amen. Just a quick recap from last week. In Genesis, God created man. God created Adam in his own image. And if we stop and think about that, which I don't think we really do, we read a lot of times we'll read across Scripture and we just, oh, that's nice. God created man. But what's it really mean to be created in his image, in his likeness, in his heart? Look at your own sons and daughters. Look at those of you that have grandchildren and look at the similarities that God allows in those genealogies as they go forward. Look at the habits. Look at the way they smile. You'll see many a new grandparent Googling over one of their grandchildren. Oh, he's got your face. Oh, he's got your ears. Oh, my, he's got your, yeah. And so we compare all the time. We're always seeing. But imagine you. Take a moment and think about you. We're created in the image of the living God. You were created by the creator of the universe, the one, the mighty, that spoke existence to the sun as you walk outside or as you walked in this morning, just the brightness of that sun, the wind as it hits your face this morning. We were noticing the daffodils as we were driving in this morning, how they're coming up everywhere, and there's just huge patches of them in bloom, and the beauty of that. God created that for you. He created that so you would appreciate that. He created that, and he wants you to appreciate all of these things because he appreciates. God appreciates beauty. He appreciates life. He appreciates relationship. There's so many things that are much deeper that I don't think we really take time and think about when we talk about a relationship with God in the image of God and where God wants to take us. So Adam was in his own image. God trusted Adam as God trusts you. But God trusted Adam to be the caretaker of the garden. And as we talked last week, God found great delight as Adam sat there and the hippopotamuses walked by and the alligators. And Adam could just, Lord, let's call it that. And let's call that giraffe a giraffe. And let's call that monkey a monkey. And as they all came by, he had an answer. He had a heart that was full of knowledge. And it was great that God had done that. So God looked at Adam and says, "It is not good for that man, Adam, that I created to be alone." So God created a woman. So he thumped Adam in the head, put him to sleep. He did a ribectomy. He created a woman out of that. And God says, "Now this is good. This is a helpmate for you, Adam." Men, listen up. This is a helpmate for you. This is not a point of conflict that's coming into your life. This is not a relationship that will keep you sharp on your arguing skills or your fighting techniques. This is a helpmate. And I'm going to explain a little bit why men take that stance in a little bit. But it's interesting. I sit across the table every week with so many men and so many hours at times. I probably sit across there more than a lot of you wives sit across the table with your own husbands. I am continually, and I'm hearing the same stories of men. And their story is not unlike my story. Their fears, their doubts, their wonders, their how do I have what it takes? Can I survive in all of this? How am I going to walk this out? How am I going to pay that bill? How is my wife going to see me or look at me? How are you, even as a brother across the table, going to look at me? These are all questions. These are all things on the heart of a man. And it isn't just once. These are not things that just come across once and you can put an answer to it and it goes away. These are things that are continued to be on the hearts of a man. Ladies, these are the things your husbands wrestle with on a continuous basis. Young ladies who are looking at that young man with such starry eyes and all, these are the questions that this young man's dealing with right now, right the here and now. These are the questions he will deal with his whole life until he can make some sense out of what's going on, until he can start to find the God's plan for what he has and know. And he has to eventually find out who he is in Christ. Now, see, so I bring you a stormy-looking front end here of what men are struggling with. But the hope is, the dream is, the complete that they can walk out in great victory, walk out well to the end when a man begins to find out who he is in Christ. And I want to say that one more time. Who he is in Christ. Not who he is in your relationship. Not who he thinks he is. It's not who he is in the business world. There are many of you that are very successful in the business world, but you stink horribly in the home world. Many of you are you can put a business together, you can run it, you have a lot of money in your pocket and in the bank, and you tell men to go and they go, and you tell women to type and they type, and you tell women to go and drive here and do this. But at home, You cannot even keep your kids in check. When you walk through the front doors of your home, men, some of you, you're paralyzed. You become passive. Please don't take that as a slap. Take that as the truth, because it happens with many a man as I sit across the table and I hear his story. As Carr and I have sat with couples, these are the stories we hear from couples that, hey, our marriage is in trouble. We don't even know how to relate. We don't even know how to talk anymore. But know that the Lord has a plan, and he wants you to figure out who you are in Christ, men, who you are in Christ, wife and women, and then who you are in Christ as a couple. God has a plan for each one of them. So we find Adam in the garden. Just a little recap. The heart of man at that point was complete because he had a helpmate to come in alongside him. He was doing his purpose, what he was born to do, and he was content. That word doesn't even ring for some of us in the room. We haven't a clue what contentment would mean, what that would look like in my home, what that would look like in my personal life. What is contentment? And that's something that you get to wrestle with. And he was content with his life and the task that he and Eve got to share with each other in the garden. And then we find just a little bit, a few verses later, if you're following me in Genesis, that we find Eve conversing with one of the slimiest, we really think he's slimy now, the serpent in the garden. So they're hanging out down there by the tree that God told them really not to be eaten from, and really hanging around. And the serpent's down there, and you know, he's got a suave on, and he's talking to the young lady, you know, and trying to win her over. So he's got it all happening at that point. He's got his tail all shined. I don't even know if he had a tail at that time, but if he did, it was all shined up, and you know, had brushed his fangs that day, and so he was ready to go. But he begins to question and accuse the authority of the Creator God. He began to bring the questions and the ideas out, and the, is this really what he meant, or could he have meant this? He began to twist, and he began to do his work, and he really began to strip the authority of what God had set in motion. So he really had set himself up to take God's authority out. And all the while this is happening, Adam's standing over here watching this. You know, he's like men do, we strum our chin for some reason. I have not a clue why we do that, by the way. If you got a beard, maybe you're getting it straight. But if you don't have a beard, maybe you're practicing for the day when you get one. But you're strumming away there. And Adam's standing there watching silently while this interaction's going on. And it's at that point that Adam's silence, his inaction, his lack of covering Eve, and he also at that point had a lack of covering the future generations, you and I, opened doors of spiritual paralysis, passivity, an overreaction for all of mankind. So he opened up some huge doors by standing with inaction. Do I believe that Adam could have spoke up and slapped that out of Eve's hand? Now, we would call that abuse, and he would have been up on charges today. But if he had done that, just think where we would be today. Or if you just say, woman, put the apple down. Serpent, out of the garden. Did he not have authority over all living things in the garden except for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? So that was in his realm. But Adam chose to stand silent, and man, Adam's been beat up through the ages. I get it. I mean, he made one mistake, he thought, and it will haunt him until we all get to heaven. But in all reality, look around you in your own life, and where are you, the image of Adam, in the life of your wife and your family? What is that image? What is that reflection of you as you stand there in silence, as you stand there in inactivity, passivity, or overreacting to your helpmate asking you a clarifying or simple question? Or my wife comes out, I'm working on brakes and I can't figure out where that one spring goes. And she goes, well, doesn't it go right there? And I'll argue with her because she came up with the idea and it was the right one. And I'm going, well, no, it can't go there because the dumaflagi over here doesn't. And I'm going, why do you fight with the helpmate that God has put in your life, Burt Moore? You don't have to agree quite so much. No, you have total permission. So I would like to just take a moment before we go any further. And we have authority. We have the authority from God to break the chains of the past that bind us. Do we not? Am I clear on that? I mean, I don't want to take the scripture in any way and bend it. But if we have that, why don't we open our hands and let loose of our passivity, men and women? Let loose of our overreaction to things? Let loose of the spiritual paralysis and invite the Holy Spirit just to break those chains off of us, me personally, off of my family, off of my wife. So let's just do that for a moment. Heavenly Father, we just lift our hands openly to you. And Lord, I want to release, dear God, these things that passivity, Lord, that there was times in my life I thought was a gift of the Spirit. And Lord, I hung on to it and I clung to it as that. But Lord, I find that that is not. I was wrong. I was Lord, I had false information, Lord. And Lord, the spiritual paralysis that I talked about and I can feel in my heart, the passivity, the overreaction, dear God, and the thought that culture has put in my mind and heart that my wife, the gift that we, once we were married, we are bone of bone and flesh of flesh. We are one, Lord. That she is not my helpmate, Lord. But may I come against the falseness that she somehow is the enemy, that she is somehow the divisive one, that she is somehow wants to come in and control and lead. And Father, we just break these things off, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God this morning. Set your sons and daughters free, Lord. Some, Lord, of us in this room, Lord, are older and some are younger. But Lord, as we ask, as we have yielded our hearts to you today, break these things off of us. Break them off of our homes. Break them off of our personal lives. Break them off. And Lord, the pain they have caused, the stress and the turmoil, dear God, and Lord, some of these things have even led to couples having divorces and separations and Lord, just so many things. Lord, I ask you to forgive us for that. May we yield our hearts now to you, Lord, in total restoration, Lord. Not, Lord, that we'll know how, Lord, and that's what we're going to try to do a little bit today is show how to walk forward in this now, Lord, and to get it right from this point on. But number one, we invite you in, Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us and continue to help us to hear and learn. We ask this in your precious name. And everybody said, amen. So there, guys, is where the heart of man begins. We're paralyzed. We're passive. We overreact and we're wounded. That's a picture of your pastor, Burt Moore, standing up here. I was all of those things. And I've found freedom, but I still struggle with those things. You put me under pressure, and the passivity wants to rise up, and I want to go under, crawl under a rock somewhere and let the storm go over. But that is not what I was called to do. The spiritual paralysis. I mean, some things of the spirit world I don't even understand, and I'm still striving to understand all these things. And when I hit those, or someone asks me one of those questions, I want to defer. I want to or stand silent. I just don't want to give you anything. But that is not what God has called me to do. And you'll find I don't have hardly any of the answers. But together we'll find them. Together we can go to my leader. See, the nice thing about having a leader, you can always, hey, let's go to Pastor Jeff and ask him that one. Let's go there, you know. And it gets me off the hook at times. But yet it also lets him come into the view to help me walk through. And there's been times he says, bro, I don't know this answer. But let's go to prayer together. Let's ask God to lead us in this. And that's leadership that's unleashed that I can continue to follow, continue to honor, continue to walk in. And that's what we need to do. We just need to, as men and women, give up our pride and our right that we have it right and no one else has it right, and give that up and ask forgiveness of one another. There should be more asking forgiveness in your households than there are pointing the fingers and the arguing that's going on. Because I just sometimes this stuff falls out of my mouth. Just, I know you guys might not, but just kind of, and I'm going, Lord, I got to clean up another mess, and how did I get here? And it's just the sin, it's the man that's within me. So we talked a little bit last week about the heart and where it's wounded. Men and women alike, all your hearts are wounded or have been wounded. And you've been wounded by a whack, which can be abuse, can be a big trauma in your family, could be a lot, or lack, where dad came home, pulled the newspaper up, kind of ignored you, kind of let you go do your own thing, stood by silently like Adam did. Dad and mom may have had a divorce, and he did not chase after you as a child as he chased after that other woman and the other new family that was there. These are the stories that are out there across many a coffee table. And it's interesting that it takes a lot of trust of someone to hear those stories from men and women and couples. But it's going on all around. But it's the woundedness, and in the woundedness, there's such pain. There's such trauma in the heart, so what's going on, that you really don't want to face it. You would really sit there and you'd ask me, why would I want to tell you this? Why would I want to go into this? Because if you don't face this pain, you will never get out of that chair of passivity. You will not be able to move forward. If you don't bring that out and begin to talk about this pain, you'll never be able to start to make sense of what happened in your story. And it's interesting, when I let my friends that sit across the table, those two or three men that know everything about me, when I let them start looking in, they begin to ask other questions than I never thought of. Well, have you thought about looking at it like this? We were talking about this Saturday, Rich and I were with a group, and have you thought that maybe that isn't what they had in mind when they said that they were thinking this or doing? And you begin to look at things a little different when I get someone across the table from me. And that really brings to my heart that God had sent me a gift long ago, Proverbs. As iron sharpens iron, so my brothers sharpen Bert. So my brothers bring life to me in my heart, so I can bring life to those around me in their heart. Can they fix my woundedness? No. You can't fix some of the stuff that happened to me. But just letting you know, there's something spiritual and powerful that happens inside of my heart that when I sit and I've told you things that I've had bottled up for so long, that now I don't have to hide this anymore. I don't have to hide behind other things. I can quit posing because now when my friend looks at me, he can truly see the real me. And sometimes when I look in the mirror, I don't like the real me. I don't like what I see in there. And if I don't like it, how do I think my friend Doug would like it if I ask him to sit down and talk with me? But once he knows all about me, I can't change this. You know, the nice thing about being a lady, you can paint the barn if you need to. An authority in the front row says that only goes so deep. And I'm going to take her word for that. Could I? Yeah, it just wouldn't go well. I'd be giving up my man card, and that ain't happening. Mm-mm. But so this is what I get. But see, I've asked the Holy Spirit to allow me to look deeper than this, to look inside. And I've also remembered that I was created in the image of the Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And if that happens, I can begin to think like Him in some aspects. I can begin to rejoice like He does. I can begin to dream like He does. See, this is something that I wasn't even going to talk about, but your dreams. So many are sitting here you're sitting on your dreams. You've buried them so far beneath your woundedness that you quit dreaming. You used to sit on that phone with that woman sitting next to you. You used to go on dates. You used to hang out to the early morning of the hour and look her in the eyes and you'd dream together. You would share your heart to the deepest depths. But see, once you got busy and you got in the rat race of this life, you quit dreaming together and you began to sit on those dreams. And it's interesting, after you got married, you knew what you wanted, but I'm not sure she knew what she was getting into all the way, because you wanted the American dream. You got the house, you got the yard, you got two kids, you got a dog and two really nice vehicles in the driveway. But she never gets to see you. She never gets to share this dream with you. She never gets to share beyond this dream with you because you're chasing after everything to continue to fix and repair and to make this dream happen. And so she's bewildered. She's hurt. She's stunned. She's wounded. See, she's already brought wounds into the relationship that a lot of yous have never, some of yous don't even know they're there. You haven't a clue that your wife was wounded as a little girl, that she was looked over, looked past, that she was hurt by someone, that she was told some things that were never meant to be told to her, not true, that things were done to her that should have never been. And then she comes into this, and now she's trying to keep your dream alive, and she figures out that where am I in all this, Lord? What am I to do, and where am I to go with this? And I get it. You're running, guys. You're running full tilt to pay for what you think she wanted, but you didn't ask her if this is it. You may have at one time. In passing, but you were still talking as you were going out the room, going to see the realtor to buy the bigger house, going down to the car dealer to buy the newer cars or the bigger cars, because she's going to need a big van for all those kids you're gonna have and pack in there. See, she's trying to keep up with your dreams, And in that, she's lost hers. Hers are buried. Hers are gone. Hers are in the backyard somewhere. And she's taken them out there and put them in a Folgers can in her heart. And she's buried them away back there. Because society tells her, church tells her to be a good wife, be a Proverbs 31 woman, and to take care of you no matter what. And so that means that, ma'am, you get sacrificed at times because you're a Proverbs 31 woman. And no one has told the men, or someone has told the men, but they're not listening because we were told by someone of a greater authority at some point in our life that a man's job is to get up and go out and slay it and drag it home so she can cook it, skin it so you can use the skins to adorn your windows in your cave, and all the weird stuff that men have dreams of doing. And yeah, we have a lot of weird things we want to do. But in that, you've been crushed, you've been wounded, you've been buried. But see, no one has taken the time to mentor and to talk and to lead that man into what he was supposed to do. Because you know what he's doing? He's following the image of his earthly father that ran before him. He's looking down the road and he sees his earthly father there and how he is supposed to perform, how he's supposed to get out and make the big bucks, how he's supposed to come home and take care of you and every 5 to 10 years get a bigger house if that's the realm you're running in. And I challenge you to come back together. Starting today, the challenge begins, and to lay down. And it's simple, guys. You're going, you don't have a clue, Pastor, but it's really simple. Ask forgiveness of one another. And invite the Holy Spirit in. And begin to, honey, where have I missed your heart? Oh, are you going to have a good time at the table? And then it turns and she goes, honey, where have I been trying to lead you falsely as a woman? Where have I been keeping the arms locked? Last week we talked about, I had my wife up here and she was showing you how a woman stands spiritually to keep me away, and the things that are locked in these joints, that lock these joints, is the abuse, the words, be cutting her off in her dreams and the stories that she wants to tell me, me not listening, me not asking for her into my story, into my adventure. And so she has just locked me out, and I can't get close to her heart no more. And when the Holy Spirit begins to open that up so you can see that, man, and you can ask forgiveness for that, when you can go in those places and ask. And I'm a guy that committed so many atrocities against his wife. I stand here openly and tell you, I failed. I should not have that lovely woman that stands back there in the corner and cheers me on even yet this morning. But God in his grace, because I had some strong people in my life challenge me to come to the table time and time again and sit across the aisle and look at her in the eyes and say, just ask her to forgive you. Just ask her to let her talk and shut up, Bert. Do not react. See, I'm a reactor. You think Chernobyl was something? You ought to see when I used to get it rolling. And see, once chaos started, I could get chaos running through the whole house. And it took nothing to set that off. But when she asked me to come in and I could see that and I could hear her heart and I allowed her to speak, It wasn't overnight. It'll never be overnight. But it was session after session. We found ourselves, we'd go to a public restaurant, because I would never yell at my wife in a public restaurant because I'm a poser. I do not want you seeing me out of control, unless I'm out of control at you. And that's a whole nother story. Then I have a reason. But I'd never want you, anyone, to see me yell at my wife in public like that. But as she came and we'd sit there and I didn't react, we were deliberate about the place, the time, the length. We set ourselves up for success. Then I find myself liking that, and I would find babysitters, and I would line it up, and we would go and do more and more and more of this. And now we're going, when can we find time? We haven't been connecting. I've missed you. I'm going to be married 40 years, like I said last week, and I just totally want to be with her more and more, not less and less. It's a daily, I want to be by her side. She voices to me, she wants to be by me. And that's not because I have a whole lot more money-wise or material or my looks haven't got any better. I'm really losing all of this but it's because she's fell in love with my heart. She's fell in love with the true heart of Burt Moore. And that, regardless what I look like on the outside, is what is the draw card for her. So a few more things. Man, you cannot be validated by that wife sitting by you. Don't go there expecting it. Don't go there looking for it. Don't go there thinking that you can take it away and you've got something special. You can only be validated to be a man by another man figure in your life. Young man, those girls that you're chasing around, they can't validate you, and that's what'll get you in trouble. Because when the one you're with now doesn't see you quite as handsome as she did yesterday, that validation begins to fade. You're going to run off and try to find another one that thinks that you're the sun comes up and down on you. And I'm telling you what, there's just too much going on in your heart and mind that you can't figure out. And so it begins to complicate the situation. So don't go there expecting that. Women, speak highly of your husbands if it's worthy. Find something, even if there ain't much, find something to praise him on. Find something to encourage him on. Find something to lift his countenance on. You know, I love the way you parked a car. Hey, trust me, we are like a bunch of old dogs. All we need is a little scratch on the ear once in a while. And if, you know, just a little word of encouragement, and then it can go a whole lot deeper at some points. I get that point as well. But know that we need you encouraging us, but we don't always need you directing us. We don't always need you telling us how we could have done it better or how it should be. But if we begin to find out as men that you're part of the solution, you'll be invited into this really quick. And when the man comes and asks you, don't say, "You're the man, figure it out." No, he's asking you. He really wants to know what's going on and how you feel and how you want to walk this out in life. And Carr and I, we've made some big decisions in the last 20 years of moving from state to state and place to place. And I said, "Honey, I know this is real important, but I want you to hear me clearly, and we're going to make this decision together, because if it goes south on Bert and you, I don't want the fingers just pointed here. I want us to go, we got in this together. Let's get on our knees and ask God how we're going to get out of this together. Because I do not want to be tore down. That is not what a man gets up for in the morning. He does not want to go, how much abuse can I take today? That is not. We may act that way, is we don't know how else to act. We don't know that we're supposed to guard our heart. But a man needs to hear from you that, women, you got what it takes. You're enough. You're a warrior in my eyes. You can do and be anything you want to be. He needs encouragement from you. Ladies, men are going to dream. We are the dream, and thank God we're dreamers. We'd have never left England. We'd have still been over there under tyrannical reign if someone didn't dream. What if we got on this little schooner and schoonered over to the New World? It is crazy. It is crazy. But somebody spoke that aloud. Somebody else heard it. But and I'm not coming against. I want to be careful when I say this, because I and Carr got into this many a times because I'm an out loud dreamer. Honey, I want to move to Montana. I want to build a cabin. I want to hunt elk every day. I want to make a business out of it and blah, blah, blah. I can go, I want some horses and some four-wheelers and you know, a new truck. And, you know, I'm dreaming, and that excites me, and that gets my blood pumping. And my wife always, she would look later, because no one had ever taught her, or her and I had never talked this over. She would say, well, that ain't going to happen because you don't do anything you ever speak. Man, that took a while for us to get over that speed bump of life. And so when we finally began out and talk, I says, you don't allow me to dream. Well, I don't understand what you're saying. You don't allow me to out loud tell you these are the things that bring me life, that these are the things I'd like to do and where I'd like to go. I said, that doesn't mean they're all going to happen. I get that. A dreamer knows that everything that falls out of his mouth isn't going to happen. But what if a piece of that could happen? What if a portion of that? Oh, my wife looked at me and she says, I actually thought when you spoke like that, that that's what you had planned for us to do. And she said, that brought terror to my heart. Okay, well taken. I says, now, when I begin to present terror from now on, I'll do it in a little smaller. But you know how I present terror now? See, the Lord told me I was going to move from Nebraska. He told me in my heart I was going to move from Nebraska to Oregon. And then after we lived there a while, he told me I was going to move from there to Nebraska again. And after a season there, he says, you're going to move from there to Kentucky. And I somehow, somewhere, I got a little bit of wisdom in here. Just poquito. And I says, Holy Spirit, I'm all about moving to Oregon. But you're going to have to tell that woman that you gave me. He says, okay. And I says, please tell her. So I came home from the trip to Oregon. I came back home, and we were living in Nebraska. I says, hey, the Lord's going to move us to Oregon in the near future. She says, yeah, I know. He already told me. All right, I just walked away. I mean, what more can you say? I mean, I didn't even know whether I should celebrate or what, you know. I mean, so when the Lord began to speak to us for us to move here, I says, hey, Lord, I think the Lord's telling me we're going to move to Kentucky. He says, yeah, I know. I've been planning that in my heart for quite a while now, and I'm ready. All right, I'm getting used to this. Now we ask each other, 7 years. See, each one of those was about a 7 or 8 year stint. From Nebraska, we moved to Oregon. We were there 8 years. From Oregon to Nebraska, we were there 8 years. And then we moved to Kentucky. Well, when that 7, 8 years came around, is the Lord saying anything to you right now? I really don't want to move. And we've asked each other that question because, you know, Lord, do you have a pattern going, or are we at the place where you want us to continue walk out? And that hasn't always been easy. So Psalms 52:10, well, let me clarify. A man's heart is going to have to be renewed, and we can only do that by going to the Lord. So it can't be done. The renewing of my heart, I can be exposed. I can look at the wound. I can take care of all those things and begin to move on that. But then I need renewing of my heart, my mind, and my actions. Psalms 52:10 reads, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So beginning with the prayer of God and his goodness and his steadfastness, the heart of a man can be renewed by entering the woundedness and trying to figure it out, and that another man can come in and help him do that. Finding a way to make sense of what's gone on in life, then the healing will begin. And remember, guys, healing doesn't begin until James 5:16 happens. And that's a group of men, or a man to man. Confess your sins to one another, brother. Pray for one another. And then the word says, then I will come and heal you. So he wants us to sharpen each other, to confess. And see, confession's good for the soul. Prayer is good for one another. But then that's when God came in. Now, God could come in way ahead of that. But he wants my brothers in arms to be a part of this process. You need brothers. Again, I go back to every man should have one at least, three's preferable, that know every detail about your life. I have had those since I've been in this church in the last 15 years, the process began. Before that, I'll bet I didn't have any. I didn't trust anyone with what was in my heart. So it's a trust process, I get it. But there's a lot of men sitting in this room that if you have one person that knows some things about you, you're lucky, you're doing well. But I'm going to push you. Again, the challenge out there this morning is find those men, find that man to begin with that knows the details about you and your life. And when I say the details, I mean all the dirt. And this is a trusted person that's not going to go and scream it from the rooftops because I want you to be man enough to throttle him against the wall if that happens and to say, you told me, and that now I see your word is, I see what your word is. That is so important. So then, men, we have a battle to fight for our heart. And the questions to ask, and these are the same questions I ask, do I have what it takes? Am I living out a God-given purpose? Am I enough for her or her, whoever sent me beside you? What do I need to do when life begins to get real boring? There is a process, men, that you need to be asking another brother about that. How do I get out of this rat race I'm running in that the culture has put around me? And just remember, men, the culture's worked hard to emasculate you as men and your sons, and the culture wants to continually do this. Culture says it knows better than you do how to take care of you. These young kids in the school in Florida, I'm not up here to do a debate this morning with you over that. But I'm telling you what, there's a right place to have guns and there's a wrong place to have guns. The answer is not to throw every gun out the window. We throw every gun out the window, folks, then we get ready for another Holocaust in this country. So I'm not here to argue those facts, but I am here to argue that youth at the 17, 18, yeah, they were traumatized. And they need to deal with that. But they don't have all the answers for you as a man, your sons coming up. And you as dads need to be talking to your sons and daughters about these types of things. If you're a gun owner and you believe you have those rights, you need to be talking about that to them. If you're not, you still need to be talking about to them about that so that everybody has a place to walk in that. We are a country that is totally out of line with the way the louder you are, the more organized you are, you can walk across the hearts and the things that other people's beliefs have. And it makes it a tricky part for Christian men, because when do we raise a stink and say enough? When do we stay silent? When do we move? When do we not move? What do we do in all of this? Because we're in this place now that if we say anything, we're either racist or we're nuts or we're a radical or we're this or that. I mean, you name it, it's out there and it's pointed at you if you open your mouth and you're on the wrong side of the fence. But I'm telling you what, we as men have to stand up in our own homes, in our own places, and begin to teach our children the rights and the wrongs. We need to lead our wives. Wives, please let your arms down for a moment. Let them in and begin to have that conversation so that they can lead you. So the man has a beauty to rescue, but does the beauty know that she needs rescued? You beautiful women, the wives of my brothers, do you know that there's places in your life that you need rescued? You are a capable lot of women. You can do anything. That is not what I'm sitting here going on about. You have what it takes to do anything you want. But wouldn't it be grand if you allowed that man in your life to lead you to make some decisions? And he won't never speak up, he won't never step up. Well, that's because I'm not sure you ever let him. Even though you yielded, have you ever really let him? And no matter what the outcome is on some of his decisions, you're going to let him walk that out. So ask those questions. Walk this out. And the sooner you get this together, the more celebrating you're going to do as a couple. The more dreaming you're going to begin to do as a couple. The more open that man's going to share his dreams. He's going to invite you into his life, his adventure, his problems, and he's going to want you to stand right alongside him for the ride of your lives. And that is what God has called men and women to be. Amen? Amen. So let's stand and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, and there's been a lot of things, Lord, that we've unpacked today, and a lot of these things can sting, they can hurt, they can be painful. And Lord, there's probably even a lot of questions, how do I do and where do I go? And the beautiful thing about what you've done in our lives, Lord, is you says, Jesus, when you were going to go away, that you were going to send the Holy Spirit who would comfort us and teach us and bring to remembrance all these things that we've been taught, that we've heard, and that we've read in that guidebook of the Holy Word. Lord, we're not going to get it right every time. There may be seasons that all I do is forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. But that's okay. That don't make me less of a man. That don't make me less of a person. That don't make me less of a warrior. So take us together, oh God, and help us, Lord, begin as couples to wrestle with this. Take us, Lord, as men, dear God, to find that man, that group of men that I can sit across from and to bear my soul and to begin to build, dear Father, that relationship that you're calling. God, we just give you all of this, Lord, that is going through the hearts and the minds, Lord. I know there's just many thoughts going up to you now, many many, Lord, things in their hearts. And there's even been some things, Lord, that Pastor Bert has no idea. He doesn't understand. And I get that. I don't understand everything. But, Lord, you do. And you'll walk with them. You'll guide them. You'll care for them. And I thank you for that in your precious name, Lord. So take us today, God. Guide us. Love on us and keep us in your holy name. Amen. Thank you and have a great day.